Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
We present another Best of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch for November 10th. And in this episode of Football History Headlines, we discuss Dan Marino hits a couple of milestones and a second half comebacks. Well, there's plenty of them on this day, as well as legendary Hall of Fame stories and birthdays coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. How are we doing today? I hope all is going well for you. This is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com website, and they're your favorite podcast on football history of the football history headlines. And today we're going to discuss November 10th, and it's action-packed just like every day, but this one's really special. So let's get right at it, and we'll go to November 10th, 1940. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Philadelphia Eagles 7-3 in a penalty-free game at Forbes Field. Philadelphia's George Summers booted a 36-yard field goal in the first quarter, and the Steelers' score came on a 1-yard scoring dive by Coley McDonough in the third quarter. As we've discussed before, this is one of four contests in NFL history without a yellow laundry hitting the field. The others occurred on October 28, 1934's Brooklyn versus Pittsburgh, September 27, 1936, when the Boston Redskins played the Brooklyn Dodgers, and on October 9, 1938, when the Cleveland Rams hosted the Chicago Bears. Seems to be a common theme with these games, as they all occurred within 6 years of each other, from 1934 to 1940. And the same guy, Will Holleran, was the referee of the 1936 and 1940 contests. Talk about an air of officials letting him play. Let's move ahead down the timeline and look at a headline that stated November 10th, 1945, Yankee Stadium, the Bronx, New York. The top-ranked Army shuts out number 2 Notre Dame 48-0 in an extremely lopsided contest. Per the AmericanFootballDatabase.com, the Black Knights' Glenn Davis scored 3 touchdowns and Doc Blanchard crossed the goal line twice as the Cadets rolled up 441 yards to the Irish's 184. A couple decades later, November 10th, 1963, Kazar Stadium, San Francisco, California. Dandy Don Meredith of the Dallas Cowboys passed for 460 yards and 3 scores, but his Cowboys team fell short on the scoreboard in a 31-24 loss to the San Francisco 49ers per the ProFootballReference.com. Niners quarterback Lamar McMahon went 15-25 passing with 248 yards and 3 touchdown passes of his own. Exactly 10 years later, November 10th, 1973, Kent, Ohio, according to the footballfoundation.org website, in 2015's post, a matchup that pitted the number 17-ranked Miami of Ohio Redhawks and the Kent State Golden Flashes in 1973 marked the first ever meeting of ranked teams from the MAC, putting the MAC title on the line. Redhawks fullback Chuck Varner fueled the offense with a 2-yard touchdown plunge and a 9-yard touchdown reception to help Miami establish a 17-10 lead. Kicker David Drought finished off the defending MAC champion Golden Flashes with a school record 52-yard field goal in the final quarter. The final score, Redhawks 20, Golden Flashes 10. Miami finished the season with an 11-0 record, their first perfect season since 1955, and a number 15 ranking in the end of the season polls. Kent State finished up their season with a great 9-2 record. Our next headline comes from November 10th, 1957, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in LA, California. An NFL record crowd of 102,368 crammed into the stadium to watch LA come away with a 37-24 victory over the San Francisco 49ers. And they say LA fans don't turn out for games. that same exact day, November 10th, 1957, at Cleveland Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Browns' Don Paul sets a club record for the longest scoop and score with an 89-yard touchdown that helped the Browns blank the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-0. Our next headline comes from November 10th, 1979. Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Crimson Tide roll away with a 3-0 victory over LSU in a rain-soaked field. According to AL.com, Alan McElroy's 27-yard field goal midway through the third quarter accounted for the game's only points. Paul Bear Bryant's Alabama team had won the national championship the previous season and came into the 1979 LSU game 8-0 and riding a 17-game winning streak. Then, 5 years later, November 10th, 1984, per a post on the website GoWYO.com, the University of Wyoming's Kevin Lau rushed for 302 yards and Rich Wagner of South Dakota State put up 231 yards of his own on the ground to set an NCAA record for the most yards gained by two opposing players. The Wyoming Cowboys were too much for the SDSU Jackrabbits that day, as it showed in a 45-29 final score of the contest. That same day, November 10, 1984, Maryland completes the biggest comeback in NCAA history, overcoming a 31-0 halftime deficit to find victory over the University of Miami 42-40 in the Orange Bowl. A great NCAA.com story tells us that the Terrapins outscored Jimmy Johnson's Hurricane team 42-9 in the second half to win the game. It was the largest comeback in NCAA history at the time. Led by backup quarterback Frank Reich, the Terrapins scored on six consecutive drives in the second half. One of the biggest plays of the game is when the Terps defense stuffed Hurricanes running back Melvin Bratton's two-point conversion attempt along the goal line late in the fourth quarter that would have led to a tie score. Frank Reich was masterful at coming off the bench and leading teams out of deep holes. Just look at his NFL career. Another headline takes place November 10, 1991. Cleveland Browns quarterback Bernie Kosar ends his NFL record of 308 passes without an interception per the OnTheState.com website. Our next November 10th headline also comes from Miami, but a different team, only this time on the professional level. November 10th, 1996, Pro Player Stadium, Miami, Florida. The ALAMY.com reports that Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino surpassed the 50,000 career yards passing mark in a 37-13 win over Indianapolis. The toss that hit the milestone was a 36-yarder to O.J. McDuffie during the second quarter of the contest. Marino also reached 4,000 completions, another NFL first, with his 10th completion of the game. The next headline for this great football day took place on November 10th, 2001. James McPherson scored with 1:17 to play in a game, and Quinton Williams made a defensive play of the game seconds later as Wake Forest rallied from a 24-point halftime deficit to stun North Carolina 32-31 in front of 53,000 fans at Keenan Stadium. Wake Forest outgained 338 yards to 118 in the first half, staged one of the greatest comebacks in ACC history. Special thanks to the Wake Forest Athletic Department for this great story. Then, exactly 6 years to the day later, November 10th, 2007, in Denton, Texas, Navy and North Texas set a major college record by combining for 136 points in a midshipman 74-62 win per an ESPN.com post. The previous record for college football's top tier of competition was 133 points in San Jose State's 70-63 win over Rice on October 2nd, 2004. North Texas Mean Green quarterback Giovanni Viza tossed for 478 yards and 8 touchdowns in the loss. That same day, November 10th, 2007, South Bend, Indiana, the Armed Forces Academies were performing well on this day as the Air Force Falcons defeated the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Per an article on the GoAirForceFalcons.com website, this occurred exactly 1 week after the Navy midshipman eked out a triple overtime victory against the Fighting Irish for the first time since 1963. The loss marked Notre Dame's 9th for the season and a school record. The last time the Irish lost to two military academies in the same season was 1944. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Our next football history headline takes us to November 10th, 2012 in Tucson, Arizona. And thanks to an SBNation.com post, we learn that Kadeem Carey of Arizona pounded the ground hard for a Pac-12 single-game record of 366 yards on 25 carries and tied the Pac-12 conference record with 5 TDs in the Wildcats' 56-31 rout of the Colorado Buffaloes. No great discussion of a football day on the football history headlines would be complete unless we talk about birthdays of Hall of Famers. And this day's no exception. So we're going to go to November 10th, 1897 in Detroit, Michigan. The fabulous fullback and defensive end of the University of Michigan Wolverines, Neil Snow, was born. Neil Snow played football at Michigan from 1898 to 1902. Snow was selected as a first-team All-American in football in 1901 when he scored on 5 touchdowns against Stanford in the very first Rose Bowl game in 1902, and he earned the very first Rose Bowl MVP award for doing that. What makes all this more interesting is, according to the footballfoundation.org website, is that he still holds the record for the most points scored in the annual granddaddy of them all with 25 points. But in that day, touchdowns only counted as 5 points. The National Football Foundation voted Neil Snow into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1960. Okay, I bet you many of us remember Neil Snow making it to the Hall of Fame as he did in the early 1900s. But this next guy, many of you will. He was born on November 10th, 1972 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Yes, we're talking about the outstanding wide receiver out of the University of Memphis. Isaac Bruce was born. Isaac was a second-round pick of the Los Angeles Rams in the 1994 NFL Draft, and he played with the team in St. Louis, too, as well as a short stint with the San Francisco 49ers in his 16-year career in the NFL. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on Bruce tells us that in his second season, the Rams' first in St. Louis, Bruce caught 119 balls for over 1,700 yards on the season. He retired as the Rams' all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and yards from scrimmage. In 1999, he was an All-Pro, and he played in 4 Pro Bowl games in his career. He was the first player in NFL history to have 3 games for over 170 yards, and as a member of the greatest show on turf offenses, he set a Super Bowl record in Super Bowl 34 when he caught 6 receptions for 162 yards. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selected Isaac Bruce to join their Gold Jacket Club in the year 2020. We told you how these football history headlines for November 10th were going to be filled with all kinds of action. And November 11th is no different, as we talk about Brett Favre joining a club that only he and Dan Marino were members of. 184 points scored in 1 college football game, and Lamar Jackson scores 4 touchdowns in his quest for the Heisman, all coming up on tomorrow's podcast. So don't miss it. Subscribe or join PigskinDispatch.com or the Sports History Network for further information. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.